This morning we continue the series on Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at lessons of failure. And let me give you the setting for where we are this morning, and I hope you've enjoyed this series on Moses. We're nearing the conclusion. We looked at our lives like the Israelites, and sometimes we have chapters where we feel like we have a prayer or a need, and we just are like Moses' mother and put our need in the basket in the Nile River and pray that God will deliver that. And other times we might feel like we're in the chains of bondage and we need deliverance, or we might feel like we're trapped with the Egyptian army on one side and the Red Sea on the other. We might find like we're facing giants or we're wandering in the wilderness. So life has all these chapters of faith for us. And this morning we're in this setting and the Israelites have turned aside and refused to face the giants in the land and to conquer them. And so God has told them that they are destined to wander the wilderness for 40 years. And so God is going to judge them. And Moses goes before the Lord in prayer, and it's a beautiful prayer. And that's what I'd like to read this morning. And Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants about this land. They have already heard that you, Lord, are with these people, and that you, Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays with them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put all these people to death, leaving none alive, the nations who have heard this report about will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on earth.' So he slaughtered them in the wilderness. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children of sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. But in accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, as I said, we continue the series on Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at lessons of failure. Some time ago, I shared some bulletin bloopers with you, and so I wanted to get started with something a little humorous and share a few more with you. So here they are. Bertha Belts, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist Church. Come hear Bertha Belts all the way from Africa. Not a good one. Reverend Smith spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. Many of you might like that. Yeah, some of you are nodding your head for me this morning. A song fest was hell at the Methodist Church Wednesday night. And this one, the church will host an evening of fine dining, superb entertainment, and gracious hostility. And then finally, next Sunday, Mrs. Vincent will be the soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on "It's a Terrible Experience." Real life bloopers. How about if some of the biggest mistakes in history, 12 publishing houses turned down author J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series until Bloomsbury Company's chairman's daughter, who was 8 years old, read the book and said she should take it, and she finally did. So 12 publishing companies turned down one of the most successful book series in history. Excite CEO George Beall turned down buying Google in 1999 for $1 million, today worth billions. For those of you back in the golden age, Decca record label had a choice between two music groups. They chose the Tremolos. Do you know which group they turned down? The Beatles. That's right. They turned down the Beatles. But you know, let me ask you something. When was the last time that you made a mistake? When was the last time that you made a blunder? It's been said that failure is sometimes the best preparation for success. Failure is sometimes the best preparation for success. Consider a few of these people. Bill Gates dropped out at Harvard in the 1970s before going on to found Microsoft. Thomas Edison had more than 2,000 failed attempts looking for the filament for the light bulb before finding the right one. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team for lack of athleticism. Can you imagine that high school basketball coach? Beethoven's first teacher told him that as a composer, he was completely hopeless. And finally, Walt Disney was scolded in his first interview by reporters as completely lacking in creativity. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? And in the spiritual world, you can look at Moses, who first failed before going on to success. Maybe you have been through a time when there was a failure. Maybe it was a failed relationship. Maybe it was a bad decision. Maybe it was a goal you failed to achieve. Maybe there was a problem at a job or at school, a class you took, something in life, maybe even a moral failure that you went through. And the question is, how can we make that into fertile ground for success? And I think this morning's reading sort of brings us into that. I invite you to walk back into the story of Moses and the people of Israel with me. And you'll remember Moses sent out 12 spies into the land, the promised land, and asked them to bring back a report. 10 of those spies came back and said, yes, the land is incredible. It's full of milk and honey, their expression for bounty and blessing. But they said, listen, there's giants in the land. We felt like grasshoppers to them. You know, we felt like a neighborhood football team going up against a professional football team. And so the people grumbled and complained. But two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, you know, everything they said is perfectly correct. Except for one thing. We believe that God is powerful enough, and if we believe in God, we believe we can take the giants in the land. Well, they ended up listening to the 10 people with the negative report. They grumbled and complained. They revolted against Moses, and God said because of that, they couldn't go into the promised land. They were destined to wander the wilderness for 40 years until a new generation was ready to go into the promised land. Wow, what a moment. You talk about failure. And you wonder for a moment, I mean, Moses, who is now, 80 years old, right? I mean, why didn't Moses give up on the people in that moment? I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're 80, you're going to like, I'm calling it quits. You guys are on your own, all right? But Moses did not give up on the people. And you know, the reason I think that's the case is because before all this took place, Moses himself had failed 40 years previously. Do you remember the moment? I mean, so Moses had been raised in the household of privilege and power. Can you imagine being Pharaoh's grandson? I mean, if there's any child that's more spoiled than the son of Pharaoh, it's got to be the grandson of Pharaoh. Are you with me? I mean, you can only imagine a doting grandparent like Pharaoh. And so Moses was raised in this household of privilege and power. But secretly, his mother had been tutoring him that he was a brother of those in slavery and oppression, the Israelites. And then one day, it was probably boiling inside of Moses, and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster fighting with an Israelite, oppressing him. And Moses, in anger, all of a sudden killed that Egyptian and buried his body in the sand. But then word got out. Moses thought that was it. You know, sometimes we think we can bury our mistakes, but oftentimes they find us, don't they? And so the next day Moses is out and he sees two Israelites fighting. And he tries to intervene and they look at him and say, will you kill us too? And Moses realizes that his secret has gotten out. In fact, it has gotten out. It's gotten all the way to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is seeking to kill Moses. And so Moses has to flee across the desert sands and finally collapses at a well in Midian, and he takes a deep breath. And I think in that moment, Moses experienced failure in a way that would inform and teach Moses and shape his life so that in this moment, right now, as the Israelites had failed, that Moses could breathe some secrets into them. And so across the pages of history and maybe even from the gates of heaven itself, I wonder if we could listen to Moses' lessons that he might have taught the children of Israel. And so as Moses is pleading before God, God answers Moses. And I think Moses went back to the children of Israel maybe over the course of the next 40 years. You remember that Moses had to spend 40 years previously sort of wandering the desert as a shepherd in the wilderness before God called him from the burning bush. And sometimes we forget those 40 years. And so I think those lessons, as we look at them, first of all, is that failure humbles us. Failure humbles us. I mean, think about it for a moment. As Moses' life went from being the grandson of Pharaoh to a wanderer in the desert, right? And as Moses collapsed at that well, I think it's significant because, you know, many times in Scripture, wells are sort of a picture of people coming to the place where they are exhausted spiritually as well as physically, and it's a place of spiritual discovery and spiritual nourishment. And so Moses collapses at this well, and when probably he thinks that all is over, all of a sudden these daughters of Jethro come to the well. And they want to water their flock, these seven daughters. And all of a sudden, these bully shepherds come and try to push them away from the well. And Moses stands up and intervenes for them. And then Moses waters their flock. He waters the flock of these daughters of Jethro, and he also gives them water as well. And the question you might ask yourself is, maybe Moses was discovering a new form of leadership in serving. You know, he had just taken a moment where he had sort of boiled over in anger and tried to take things into his own hands. And now here's Moses serving the daughters of Jethro, one of which becomes his wife. Maybe Moses was discovering in his humility, in that moment that he is broken, a new kind of servant leadership that would help guide him in the days and years and even decades ahead. Think about Abraham Lincoln for a moment. Arguably one of the greatest presidents we've ever had in this country. Abraham Lincoln failed at 12 elections. He lost 12 elections before being elected as president of the United States. And maybe it was the humbling experience of losing 12 elections that gave Abraham Lincoln the humility and the wisdom to guide the nation through its arguably most troubled chapters in all of history. And probably one of the greatest presidents that we've ever seen, and tremendous man of humility and wisdom. Think about your own life for a moment. What have you gone through that's been a difficulty, a failure, a mistake, even a blunder that you can learn from because you've been humbled in that moment? You know, good ground, as all of our farmers will tell us, is broken ground. It's ground has been broken up. And in fact, humble has a root hummus, which is good soil. So our humility, our brokenness is fertile ground for greatness because God works through humility. So failure can humble us. And the second thing is that failure can teach us. It can teach us. And in Psalm 119:71, it says this, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I could learn your statutes." Some of the modern translations translated this way, "Thank God for my failures because I can learn from them." Thank God for my failures because I can learn from them. Think of the things that you have learned from. You know, that moment when you think about Moses as he's coming down from Mount Sinai, he's got the Ten Commandments in his hand, and the Israelites, meanwhile, are supposed to be praying or having a party. They're worshiping the golden calf, and things are just bizarre and out of control. And Moses lost it for a moment, okay? But then after he got things together and Moses goes back up to the mountain, Moses begins to plead for the people. And maybe through Moses' failure, he had been learning some lessons. He had been taught by his own failures, and he was able to plead before the people, and Moses was a better leader for that. The Apostle Peter, of course, failed three times. He denied Christ three times, and Jesus had predicted it. It was around a charcoal fire when Jesus was being tried and was about to be crucified, and Peter denied Christ not once, but three times. Three times, and then, as Jesus predicted, the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered. He went out, and he cried and fell down in repentance, and that had to just mark his life. But after the resurrection, Peter saw the risen Lord, but I don't think it was yet over for Peter because he went fishing with some of the other disciples. You know, that was Peter's original career. So it's likely that Peter was going back to fishing as a career instead of being a disciple, an apostle for Christ. And Jesus goes looking for Peter. And it says in Scripture in John 21 that Jesus, after he had called to them and had them come ashore after this great catch of fish, that Jesus made breakfast around a charcoal fire. Do you know that term charcoal fire is only used twice in the Gospel of John? Once when Peter denied Christ, and the second time when Jesus made him breakfast. I think John the Apostle wanted us to know that Jesus was giving Peter a do-over, you know, like in golf, the mulligan thing. So Jesus was giving Peter a do-over, and after breakfast in front of all the other disciples who had to whisper all about Peter's failure, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Probably pointing to the fish, more likely the fishing career. And Peter probably took a deep breath and said, "Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." You know, not just do you love me, but feed my sheep, commissioning it. And Jesus said that not once, but three times, as if for every time that Peter had denied Christ, Jesus was affirming his love for him as well as his ministry as an apostle. You know why? Because I believe that Jesus gives us second chances. And then Jesus went after Peter because he knew that failure is fertile ground for success and that Peter could learn from this. And Peter did. Peter went on to be the great apostle that preached in the day of Pentecost, and more than 3,000 people came to the Lord. Peter went on to be a great apostle and to write books of the New Testament and to give his life as a martyr for the faith of the gospel. And you know, there's lots of things, little things and big things that you and I can learn. Savannah just turned 15 yesterday. So, you know, the driver's permit's coming. We've been hearing about this for a year, but as we're driving around all the time, I'll say, it's not you I'm worried about, it's everybody else. So every time someone does something wrong on the road, I say, you see that? Don't do that. Now and then, would you believe it, after all these years, I do something that's a little close to the edge. And she looks at me and says, Dad, and I went, yep, don't do that, okay? We can learn from our own failures, and they can teach us great things. There's a great story that they like to tell at leadership circles, and I love this story. And the story is of Tom Watson, the great CEO of IBM for more than 40 years. And Tom Watson had commissioned one of his vice presidents, one of the lieutenants, to go and invest $13 million in some project. I don't know what it was, but the individual lost everything, all $13 million. And Tom Watson called that individual into his office, and this individual went into Tom Watson's office knowing that he was going to be fired for this $13 million mistake. And so he came into Tom Watson's office, and he tendered his resignation, knowing that it would be accepted. And Tom Watson looked at him and said, I can't afford to fire you. I just spent $13 million on you. Isn't that true? Because he knew, even as expensive as that mistake was, that it was going to make him a better person. For whatever you've failed at in life, big or small, hopefully it's not $13 million, what can you learn from that? What can God teach you? What is God preparing you for the next phase in life? And then, so it humbles us, it teaches us, and then finally, we can learn to trust God more. We can learn to trust God more. You know, when people look at Moses' life, when Moses killed the Egyptian, scholars are a bit divided about that. You know, was Moses right in killing the Egyptian? After all, the Egyptian was oppressing the Israelites. It was an unjust situation of slavery. Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites from slavery and oppression. It reminds us there's still slavery and oppression in the world today. We want to stand up for that. And what was wrong about Moses killing the Egyptian? And a lot of people say this, that it was the destiny of Moses to lead the Israelites from oppression and injustice and slavery to freedom and the promised land, but Moses took things into his own hands. He didn't trust God. Moses, as one person said, was trying to redeem Israel on his own. Have you ever been guilty of wanting to do things on your own? I mean, maybe not redeeming Israel, but trying to do things on your own rather than trusting God more than ourselves? I have. Moses learned a valuable lesson, I think. Moses learned that he needed to trust God. Later on, some 40 years later, as Moses was pinned between the Egyptian army on one side and the Red Sea on the other, the people of Israel were all in clamor and uproar, but what did Moses do? Moses had developed faith in that moment to trust God, and God told him to lift his staff, and Moses did all night long, and during that night, God cleared a pathway for the Israelites across the Red Sea. Moses had learned to trust God more than himself. What about you and me? Learning to trust God in our failures because it teaches us that we don't have all the answers. Whatever our gifts and talents are, and we all have gifts and talents, we've got to learn to put those before God and to trust God that God knows the path through whatever the most difficult obstacle that we're facing. And it can make the victory and success in the future all the sweeter. Did anyone watch the Belmont race the other day? Any horse race fans? We're in the sort of the orbit of Louisville after all. Right, and we've got a triple crown winner. It's been a long time since we had a triple crown winner, and it's sort of got a religious name. Do you like it? Justify. All right, so it's like, that's great. And even more than that moment of victory, I love the story of the jockey, Mike Smith. Did anyone watch the story of the testimony of the jockey, Mike Smith? You can Google it if you want to, but Mike Smith, afterwards, as he has with all of his races, gave all the glory to God, and he's not ashamed of his faith in Jesus Christ, and I think that's beautiful, and he just wanted to put that before the Lord. But he began to share what made this moment the greatest. And he's 52 years old, so he's got a lot of chapters of experience. But as he was sharing what made this moment special, and of course the Triple Crown is special in itself, it was his failures before. In the late 1990s, 97, 98, and 99, his failures at Saratoga Springs that made this chapter something even more special because he learned from his failures. He learned to trust God and to do his best, but to put it all in God's hand. And every moment, his faith had gotten deeper, but especially in the difficulties that made the chapter of success even better because he had learned from those moments in life. What is God putting you through right now in your failures, maybe in the past that you've gone through? You know, the truth is, the question is not whether we'll fail or not, or if we'll fail, but when we will fail, right? We've all been through some failures, so the question is, what is God trying to teach you and me through our failures? You know, God taught Moses some incredible lessons, and now Moses is going to take 40 years and to pour his life into the Israelites who are now doing what Moses had done 40 years before. As Moses entered into 40 years in the desert, as God was teaching him, the Israelites would spend 40 years wandering in the desert, and Moses was teaching them to be humble, to learn from their mistakes, and to learn to trust God in our own life. That's so, so important. Here's something that's interesting. Egypt is referred to as the land of Pharaoh, and the land across the Jordan is referred to as the Promised Land. But you know what the only place that's referred to as God's land? The wilderness. Isn't that interesting? The wilderness is God's land. And maybe that's because that God was trying to redeem the people and to teach the people and to pour his life into their healing moments. And Jesus, I think, speaks the same thing to us. That our God is a God of second chances. Forgiveness and grace is all about second chances. And in our failures can prepare us for the future successes in a better way many times than all of our small successes can. Paul knew this lesson in his life. Maybe he had failed many times. But he writes to the church at Philippi from prison, mind you. And he begins this great book with this great truth that they didn't have to worry that God hadn't given up on them yet, that God was still at work. And this is what he writes again. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not done with you and I yet, nor of this church, nor any of us. God is at work inside these walls and outside these walls. And when you and I come to a moment in life where we failed, maybe even failed terribly, but whatever it is, know this, that God is preparing us for future success. So hear the whisper of Moses across the pages of history that failure can help us. It humbles us. It teaches us. It helps us to learn to trust God. God is using your failure and preparing you for a chapter of success. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, sometimes we do stumble, we do fall, and it's such a moment of hurt and heartache in our lives, whatever that is. But we know that you are a God of second chances. So, Lord, help us to learn these lessons so that we become greater in your service. We can serve others better in the church and in our community and in our world. And help us to hear your voice of grace whispering across the pages of history to reach down and to lift us up and to give us forgiveness and grace to learn and to go on to do great things for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all God's people said, amen.